She was given a vision of her future and now tells others about their future on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Centuries have come and gone, offering wisdom and understanding throughout the ages. Today, there should be nothing beyond one's power to discover. And yet, the strange, unusual, and mysterious world of the supernatural defies understanding. Stay tuned for a unique and powerful investigation into a curious, undiscovered universe, only on It's Supernatural.
Hello, I'm Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. My guest, Janet Morgan, is a school teacher, Jewish, and she begins hearing the audible voice of God all the time. She has a tumor in the brain, supernaturally healed. Janet Morgan, what's a nice Jewish school teacher from Brooklyn going to a Bible study?
Well, I was invited to go by a young Jewish man who lived in my building. And looking back, I know I was compelled to go because the day that the Bible study came up, I asked my girlfriend, should I pick her up? She said she wasn't going. And I said, but we have to go. And I went to this strange house with strange people that I didn't know. And I got in there and it was a little strange. And then people start singing, then they stand up, then they raise their hands. And I'm like, oh my God, what did I get myself into?
And how can I get out of here?
Fast, and I couldn't. And then somebody whips out a tambourine and I was sure I had come into some kind of, I don't know, Holy Roller meeting or something. It was very strange. But I waited, somebody sat down, I sat down. And then a friend of the boy that lived in my building began to do a Bible study, began teaching the Bible. And it was very interesting to me. I had never really studied it. And then finally the meeting was over and this other young Jewish boy started to talk to me. But we were sitting in this house in August with this little fluffy dog that shed all over this thick, fluffy carpet, and I had horrible allergies. My whole family had them. Hay fever, rose fever, grass fever, all fur-bearing mammals. And by the time this meeting was over, my eyes were puffed out, my nose was stuffed, I couldn't breathe, and I was itching to get out. So I said to him, can we go sit outside
and
talk?
Not because of the meeting, but because the allergies?
The beginning of the meeting was a little strange.
50-50.
Yeah, the teaching was interesting. So then we went out, and we're sitting like this, but on a picnic table, with a black August sky. And he begins telling me about God and about Jesus being his son. And I'm listening, but all of a sudden, Sid, his voice began to fade out. His mouth kept moving, like on TV, but I heard nothing, which I thought was very strange. But then, up in the sky, way up above his head, a flash of light, like the fireworks, the big chandeliers, and out of that came a streaming fire that went through the sky and lit in my ear. And this beautiful, mellifluous baritone said to me, listen to what he's telling you. It's the truth, and it's for your life. And then the fire came up out of my ear like a comet's trail through the sky, and then another big burst of fireworks, and it was gone. I suppose my face looked like...
Janet, had this ever happened to you before?
No, I had never seen anything like that in my life.
I have to ask you a question. Were you drinking at this party?
Was not drinking. There was
nothing
going on.
Did you have drugs?
No, nothing at all. It was just amazing. And he didn't even know, because I could see from his face, he hadn't seen a thing.
Okay, you were supposed to listen to what he was telling you. What was he telling
you?
Well,
his voice faded back in, and he was telling me about God and the fact that Jesus was his son, and yes, they were Jewish, and the Bible is the word of God, and I need to be reading it and live my life that way. And then he asked me if I had a Bible, and I said I didn't, and he said he'd give me one if I drove him home. So I ended up driving he and this other young man home, and when I went to drop him off at the subway station, the other young man says to me, I can see you're suffering with these allergies, sister. And I was like, uh-huh. And he said, you know, the Bible says that God wants you well. I'm like, that's nice, okay. And he says, you know, and Jesus says that if believers will lay hands on the sick, they will recover. And I'm like, that's nice. And he's like, can we pray for you? And I, you know, through my head went, who would say no to prayer? Of course, right. Go ahead, pray for me. So they put their hands on my head and they pray and nothing happens. And he goes, and then I drop the other one off. He hands me a Bible and he says, start reading at the book of John. So I go home to my apartment, I get dressed, I get into bed, I'm looking at the Bible, and I say, oh, Old Testament, New Testament, Jewish part, Gentile part. Made sense. And I skimmed the beginning, and then I went looking for the book of John, but it was not at the beginning of the New Testament. Matthew was. So I was, already they're trying to pull the wool
no
over my eyes.
No one's going to do that to a school teacher.
No, this was not happening. So I turned to Matthew. And I start reading down the book of Matthew, which says, and these are the generations of Jesus Christ. So-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat. And this, I'm halfway down the page and everybody's begatting and I'm hysterical laughing. I crack up, I'm laughing. I close the Bible, I'm still laughing. And then I stop and I say, okay, God, tell you what. I've always believed in you. I thought anybody that was intelligent had to believe there was a God. I said, now they're telling me that Jesus is your son, and he was Jewish, and it's all a Jewish thing, and I need to read the Bible and study. So I said, I'll tell you what I'll do, God. I will read the Bible. I will study your Bible, word by word, and I will take it at face value. I will believe it unless somebody can prove to me that it's not true.
Oh, that's a pretty fair approach.
I thought so. I said, we got a deal, God. And instantly, my head drained. Do you ever see the Drano commercial? Where That's what happened to my head. My eyes literally unpuffed. I felt my face unswell. My nose cleared up. My sinuses emptied.
But wouldn't this happen every once in a while anyway?
Never. Not in August. Anybody with those allergies knows. Never clears up. And you never feel your sinuses empty and drain. And I could breathe, and it was August, and I was so proud of myself. I was like, what do you know? There really is a God in heaven. And that was it. And I went on from there, studying and reading the Word of God. I believed, and I was healed.
But then God spoke to you again.
About 2 weeks later, I was sitting on the subway, I was reading the Bible, and I hear this same mellifluous baritone. And it says to me, isn't it time you made a commitment? So I look around, but nobody's talking to me. I mean, it's a crowded subway, so I ignore it and I go on reading. And then I hear, I said, isn't it time you made a commitment? I'm like, what do you want? What?
Janet, hold that thought. We're going to find out how she begins to hear the audible voice of God, has an actual vision in which she sees her future. Don't go away. Sid Roth, your investigative reporter. I'm speaking to Janet Morgan, and this Jewish woman literally heard God's voice, and God says, when are you going to make a commitment? What happened next, Janet?
He told me to turn to Mark 16:16, so I turned to it, and it's like the Great Commission, you know, go ye into all the world and make disciples when they believe and be baptized. So I said, you want me to get baptized? And the voice says, would be a good idea. I said, all right, fine. So I went to the Bible study that night and I told them, I said, listen, God said I have to get baptized. They said, fine, bring something you can get wet in on Sunday. And so I did. And on Sunday after the meeting, they baptized.
But didn't this bother you? I mean, you're Jewish and Jewish people, we don't know our history. We don't know that baptism started, the whole thing was Jewish, it was mikvah. But we Jewish people usually don't like that idea. Didn't it bother you a little?
It didn't bother me simply because at this point I knew I was hearing the voice of God.
Okay, so you go through the baptism, and then what?
From the moment I was baptized, I began hearing God's voice all the time. Like he lived in my apartment with me.
How good was that?
It was unbelievable. It was If I had a question, I asked. When I got dressed, I would stand there and wait to hear, don't wear that, I don't like that. And occasionally he would say, get rid of that dress, get rid of this. I felt like somebody had come and stamped on my bottom, rush for Christmas. Because it was one thing after another. My life was being changed, and I was willing. Wasn't that, that was incredible. You didn't know me back then. But whatever I heard the Lord speak to me, I was willing to do.
Give me one supernatural example of something he said to you.
The morning of October 2nd, I went to get out of bed to go to work, and this invisible hand like pushed me back into my bed, and I literally watched a movie screen drop down from the ceiling, and I'm sitting there watching this movie. Make a long story short, my mother's in the hospital in a coma, she's dying, I'm standing there praying, and
this is what you see in the television
screen. This is what I'm watching in the movie. It's like a movie I'm watching. And I'm kind of angry at God because she's dying, and he promised, you know, his promises, your family would get saved and everything. And I call for prayer, and the elders come, and they're kind of praying in the corner. And then all of a sudden, above the bed, Jesus appears, and light is emanating out of him. And he turns to my mother and addresses her. And he said, you know, Linda, get up and rise. Do you know who I am? And she does, and she's healed, and she goes walking out. Then he turns to me, and he says, Janet, I want you to know that my words are always true. Every promise I've ever made you and any promise in my word is real and true and will always be for your life. And then he turns past me to the two men in the corner that are praying, and he says, Reverend Morgan, rise and come forward. Nobody ever called Howie Reverend Morgan, certainly not in the 70s. You know, it was like Howie. But he got up and he came forward with his knees knocking, and the Lord said, and you will cleave this woman unto you as a wife. Together you will grow and prosper. You'll have many children. Your ministry will go from Brooklyn, Manhattan to Queens to the world. End of thing. Up goes the screen. I thought I'd been there 25 minutes. I looked at my clock, maybe 30 seconds.
Now, how well did you know this Howard Morgan?
I didn't know him at all. He was the one that was running the meeting, the Bible studies. He was teaching them. I had never spent
So you have this vision that you're going to marry this man who is going to be a minister and go all over the world, and you barely even know who he is. Well, what did you think about
that? I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, he's not my type at all. You don't know. And the Lord says, what is your type? Because God always dealt with me this way. He knew what he was dealing with. I said, well, he doesn't wear Brooks Brothers suits, and he's not a doctor or a lawyer.
Well, that's the type your mother trained you for.
Absolutely. And so I let that go. The next day, I had the same type of thing, only this time I was in the hospital bed and it went up. And afterwards, I said, God, you're trying to tell me something. He said, yes. I said, no. And then I noticed that the Lord got very quiet because he wasn't discussing everything with me. We weren't talking as I was walking to the subway. And by the second day, I really noticed it. And that night, we had been to the Bible study. Now, we were out having coffee, a whole bunch of believers. We were all having coffee and talking. And I said to them, I said, you notice how quiet the Lord got today? And they said, what do you mean? I said, you know, like he wasn't talking a lot. And they're like, what do you mean talking, Jack? I said, don't you hear him talk? And they're all looking at me like, okay. And they said, well, what do you mean hear? I said, like I hear you. You hear his voice. And they go, no, we just sense it.
It dawned on you that not everyone hears God all the time.
That everybody was saying the Lord said this and the Lord said that, but they weren't hearing
his voice.
They were
sensing, but not hearing an audible voice.
Right. And all of a sudden, they kept 1,000 questions. What about this and what about that? I said, all I know is what I know. He's just talking to me. And he did that on and on and on. And I heard his voice all the time. But at the end of that night, when I was saying how quiet he is, one of the young men said to me, what'd you do wrong? I said, what do you mean what I do wrong? He said, if God stopped talking to you, you did. Did you say no?
Yes, you did.
Yes, I did. I said no to him. So I went home that night. I said, all right, God, what do you want? I said, and he wouldn't answer me. I said, what? What did I do wrong? And I started thinking back through the 2 days, and I got back to the thing with marrying Howie. So I finally said, all right, I'll marry Howie. Are you happy? And God said, yes. I said, okay, fine. What do you want from me? And the Lord said, obedience, simple obedience. And he said, and for you, if it isn't immediate, it isn't obedience. I said, well, that's kind of strict. I'm not so sure I like that.
You said that to God.
I did. This is...
Janet, hold that thought. I want to find out about this Dr. Howard Morgan that evidently God said was supposed to be Janet's husband, and he wasn't even her type. We'll be right back. There was another Jewish man who could look into the future and know what would happen. His name, the prophet Isaiah. And in the Jewish scriptures, Isaiah says in the 7th chapter, the 14th verse, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the young woman shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us." A young woman will have a sign, and this child will be called God is with us. Now, many Christian translations, this is the approved Jewish scriptures, but many Christian translations say virgin, not young woman. Big difference. Who's right, the Christians or the Jews? We have to go back to the ancient rabbis, 200 years before Jesus came to earth. We had a translation of the best rabbis that were around. It was called the Septuagint, translating from Hebrew to Greek. And they took the only Greek word in this verse that means exclusively virgin. So back then, the ancient rabbis knew that it should be translated this way. "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a miracle sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us." His name today, Yeshua the Mashiach. So God tells Janet Morgan that she's supposed to marry this Howard Morgan. Now, she says, "God, he's not my type." But she finally comes to her senses and says, "I'll do it, God." Howard Morgan, what about you? You had something to say about it. She didn't tell you anything. How'd you find out?
She didn't tell me a thing about it. On December 17th, 1976 this was, which coincidentally was 5 years exactly to the day that I met the Lord Jesus myself. Janet and I had spent a little time in the afternoon. We went out to eat with some friends. I went home. It was about 10 or 11 o'clock at night. And when I walked into my apartment, I closed the door behind me, just opened it up normally, walked in, and said my apartment was filled with a cloud. The presence of God was supernaturally in manifestation. I felt like there was a thick cloud in my apartment.
Had you ever seen this?
No, I'd never had an encounter like this before,
You literally you could feel it, see it.
It was like a mist was in my apartment, and I could feel it. And I stopped. I mean, as soon as I opened my apartment door, it was there greeting me. And I stopped and I said, "Lord, you're here in a special way. You must want to tell me something." And he said these words to me, "Howie, you're going to marry Janet." And it was like something inside of me just started welling up. And being the great man of faith that I was, I immediately started doubting this and say, "Oh, this can't be God, And all that night, I was up actually stamping little gospel thing booklets, and that the title of which was An Unbeliever Convinced. And the Lord kind of spoke to me that I'm trying to convince you of this. And because I understood the seriousness of what the Lord was saying to me, I wanted to make sure that I was really hearing God. And
What were your thoughts about this? So what did you think? That this really was God?
Yeah, I did believe that God had really spoken to me because it was such a powerful encounter. But I just, as a pastor of a congregation, I had people that I was responsible for. I knew I didn't want to make the wrong decision and marry the wrong woman. After coming to the Lord, I knew that was the most important decision I could ever make. And this, after that, was the most important decision I could make. And I asked the Lord to confirm it. With maybe some of our viewers need to understand that it's okay to ask God to confirm His Word so that we don't make mistakes, especially about really important decisions. And God began to confirm these words. words, one of the men that I was working with in the congregation. He said to me, when I told him about this, he said to me, you know, I was praying for you, and the Lord told me that you were going to marry a new believer, and it was going to happen soon. When he told me that, I almost literally dropped the phone. Janet was a new believer, and God had said that I was going to marry her. And then other events, things began to happen, and I started developing feelings for Janet. So I went to her one evening. I said to her, I need to talk to you. And went into her apartment, and because if this was not the Lord, if I was missing it in some way, I didn't want to let my feelings start going.
I mean, what's she going to say?
Yeah, really. I'm thinking, you know, can I said to her, listen, I'm beginning to develop these feelings for you, and if it's really not the Lord, I have to drop it now because I don't want to hurt you, I don't want to hurt me, I don't want to jeopardize anybody in the fellowship.
Janet, you said he's not your type. You finally said, okay, God, I'll do what you're saying. Now he comes to you, a cloud comes into his apartment, a voice says to marry you. How did you respond?
Well, after I agreed to marry him, I told the Lord that he better have the qualities that I wanted in a husband. And so God said, make a list. So I took out a legal pad and I made a list of all the qualities, little things like great intestinal fortitude, integrity, strength, honesty, little qualities. But then over the next month or so, the Lord would allow me to watch Howard in these situations where I would see these characteristics coming forth, so that by the time he came to me, there was a check next to each one of them on the list. So when he came and said this to me, and also when I had that initial vision, mm-hmm. I said to the Lord, should I go and tell him? And the Lord said to me, no, but when he comes to tell you, it will come to pass. So here he was coming to tell me. I walked into my room, picked up the pad, threw it down on the table.
Let me tell you, this is funny, because I'm talking to her in her kitchen, and I said to her, I'm developing these feelings, I had this experience, and she got up, Sid. She didn't say a word to me. She just got up and walked out of the room, and I thought, oh my God, I really offended this girl. And I watched her. I distinctly remember watching her walk down the aisle.
I wish I had a TV camera.
Me too. This was so funny.
Maybe in heaven we'll all watch this, and everybody else is like, I remember watching her walk down the hall, and go and get a legal pad, didn't say a word to me, and just put the legal pad down with this long list of qualities and check marks next to them, and I said to her, what's this? And then she told me about the vision, and she told me about watching these qualities, and Sid, at that moment when we were looking at each other across the kitchen table, it was like the ground opened up, and we fell in love with each other supernaturally.
Wait. Did you fall in love with him?
Right then and there.
Really?
I had no feelings for him up until that time. I had grown respectful of him as I saw these qualities, but nothing else.
Okay, you're happily married, and you have a tumor on the brain.
Yeah.
Tell me about it.
This was with my third child. I had bad pregnancies, but this was the worst, and they couldn't do anything for it. After I gave birth, I never got better. The pediatrician said, you need to see an endocrinologist. I went. He sent me for all the tests that were available then. I had CAT scans. I had polytomography, and they came out of it
saying... That's brain x-rays.
Thank you.
And they came out of it saying, well, it looks like there's a microadenoma on your pituitary, but we have to wait for it to grow bigger so we can go in if we're going to operate.
Sounds pretty bad to me.
It was, because as we waited, I got tunnel vision till I was only seeing like this and pounding in my head. I couldn't walk. I was bedridden. I had a five-year-old, a two-and-a-half-year-old, and an infant. We had a big congregation at that point. My life was shut down, and everybody was praying. We had people pray. We had tried everything. My Jewish doctor had us try one medication, didn't work.
Bottom line, what happened?
One night, somebody came and prayed for me, who had prayed for me before. I went to sleep that night, nothing. Got up the next morning, and I was fine. I woke up. I didn't hear banging in my head. I didn't have tunnel vision. I could see. I woke him. I said, Howie, I can see, I can hear.
What did the doctor say?
We went back to see Dr. Spergel, my Jewish doctor. You do his imitation with...
Because he had been walking with us through this and all the things, and he said to us, we can't do anything. And he had a long beard. He stroked his beard as he looked over his desk and said to me, laying on of hands, huh? Because he had heard about, you know, this gift.
Okay. But a few years later, you had the x-ray. What did it show?
First, he asked me to go for another CAT scan right then and there. He paid for it. He said it looks fine. Several years later, I was having another problem. They sent me for an MRI. After they took it, the technologist comes out and says, You have a brain tumor sometime?
He was a Japanese.
He was
one.
Japanese.
He could tell you had one and you didn't have one.
This is what we said, and we came inside and we said, how do you know this? And he showed us where it was but wasn't, without scarring, without signs from any drugs.
It's true. It's true. God is real, and God is not a respecter of persons. And I can tell you, I can feel his love for you right now. It's actually going right through your television set, and the love of God, this isn't a natural thing, this is a supernatural thing, the love of God. You ask God, say, who is Jesus? And reach out and hug him. He's gonna hug you back. You watch, it's true. He really does love you.